part of the stories being relevant today is that they are very much about equality, about being open and tolerant.
As Finland celebrates a centenary of independence, one of the nation's most popular and cutest cultural exports has found a new niche here in London. Magnus Englund, the co-founder of retailer Scandium, has teamed up with Sophia Janssen, creative director of the Moomins, with a new shop dedicated to the rotund natives of fictional Moomin Valley. We'll find out how these cute characters became serious business today on Section D. This is Section D, Monocle's dedicated weekly design show, and I'm your host, Josh Fennett. Also today...
So on one hand, really committed to the traditional Scandinavian design values, but on the other hand, really try to add a new perspective through new materials, new techniques, a bit more creative freedom to designers.
How does the most important event in Scandinavia's design calendar maintain its mantle? Monocle's very own design editor, Nolan Giles, will be here to tell us more about Stockholm Design Week. That's all ahead on Section D on Monocle 24. And I'm delighted to say that in tow and in studio we have Monocle's very own design editor, Nolan Giles, who's had a little time to digest the highlights and lowlights and probably all the lights he saw at Stockholm Design Week. Nolan, welcome back to Midori House.
Thank you, Josh.
It's been an exciting time. You're composing, as we speak, a brilliant report, which will feature in the next issue of the magazine, but have kindly agreed to dispense a little wisdom on one of the shows that is, for many people, the highlight of the design calendar, the Stockholm Design Week. I'd love to hear, for the uninitiated, a little explanation of where it sits in the calendar and why you thought, as our design editor, you needed to go and send yourself off for a week of fun.
It's almost like a mini Salone del Mobile, because there's events kind of activating design showrooms in the city. But front and center, the action all takes place at the Stockholm's Mässan, where the Stockholm Furniture and Light Fair takes place. This year, there were around 40,000 visitors from 80 different countries, around 700 exhibitors. But this is the interesting thing. 80% of these exhibitors were from Scandinavia. So really, for buyers, for people that are interested in design, that are going there, they're going there to see Scandinavian design. And it gives these smaller brands from Denmark, from Sweden, the opportunity to get in front of a really global design audience.
And when we talk about Nordic design, when we talk about Scandinavia, these design places are a great venue for people to touch tables, to coo at chairs, to talk about nice design. But actually, they mean a lot of business too. It's where furniture contracts are taken out. It's where shops that will be on high streets all over the world will stock up. Was there a positive sense?
The mood was totally buoyant and there were a lot of buyers. So I think what's happening now with Scandinavian design, obviously we had this Scandi Modern thing, which happened quite a while ago, which was like a resurgence of the energy and the positivity that Scandinavian design had in the mid-century. It kind of came back and it was a very cool thing, like cool Scandi. Lots of people in the design industry were interested in it, but now it's gone mainstream, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. So if you think about some of the brands, Hem, for example, are a really nice Swedish company, which started a few years ago, and their whole ambition is to bring good, functional, good-looking design to, I guess, people like you and I, people that are urban, that don't live in massive places, don't have a huge budget to buy things, but really want to buy things that are sustainably minded, the design's well thought out. So they were kind of debuting a beautiful sofa range that actually can fold down into a box that's small enough to fit on a Euro pallet, which means it can be shipped off to the US, it can be shipped off to Australia. It's not having a huge carbon footprint with its design. So there was a lot of that there that could be seen, and I think that was the prevailing trend. And in terms of buyers, I think that's something that they were interested in. There was huge interest from the US, which is super, super interesting. I think there's this changing dynamic between the workplace and the home. Lots of offices in the US are just ditching the cubicle system and trying to turn them into, you know, a more friendly social environment. And I think Scandinavian design is the perfect sort of furniture to fit in these new environments.
Completely. And it's nice when design embraces the way that we live and work work and the way that that's changing. So you mentioned sustainability. I imagine the clean lines of Nordic minimalism were there to be seen. Who did you catch up with, though? I'm interested to get a few tidbits from the CEOs, the designers, the people you spoke to.
Yeah, there was so much to see. I could have been there for a whole week, honestly. There was so much. There is still that breadth to Scandinavian design. So there's a brand like Carl Hansen & Sons who have been reproducing design classics, and they're still doing it. So they've done their first Arne Jacobsen piece this year, which they were lucky enough to get the permission for. It's a beautiful writing desk. It sits at the very high end of the market. And then there's companies like Muto and Tradition, Menu. There are a lot of these Scandinavian brands that are appealing to a younger, slightly middle market bracket. There's an abundance of good design going on with them. So lots of interesting young designers. Note Designer, a particularly interesting group from Sweden who seem to be doing a lot there. Foggia are a great Swedish design company who are debuting a lot of products, including nice pieces from very young designers. So there's a young Swiss duo called Dees, and I remember catching up with them last year at Salone del Mobile, and they were almost like straight out of design school. But these Scandinavian brands are seeing this talent, picking them up, working with them, bringing them to the market, and it's a very nice thing to see.
And we have a wonderful report coming up in the April issue in the design pages, edited by your fine self, to look forward to give a bit of a better sense of an overview of Stockholm Design Week. But for now, I believe you've got an interview for us. Who did you catch up with?
I do. So this is Anders Kleeman. He's the CEO of Muto. They're in a very interesting position right now because they are one of those real forces in young Scandinavian design moving very quickly into big markets. So they've just been acquired by Knoll, who are a furniture giant in the US. Due to the fact that they were growing 50% year on year in the US, which is huge for them. So really, Anders is in this amazing position now where he's built this company up to be an interesting and exciting force in design, producing good design, working with some of the nicest designers in Scandinavia and a little bit further afield. And he really spoke to me about how you actually stand out there, because that is another issue that they have, because there is definitely a vibe, there is an aesthetic that sits with this new modern Scandi vibe. So he kind of unpacked his plans to make his brand stand out.
The fundamental idea behind the company was this big fascination of the golden age of Scandinavian design in the 50s and the 60s with names like Arne Jacobsen, Werner Panton, Alvar Aalto. But then, you know, also try to make something new that stick out a bit more. So on one hand, really committed to the traditional Scandinavian design values, but on the other hand, really try to add a new perspective through new materials, new techniques, a bit more creative freedom to designers. So that concept we actually defined initially in 2006, we really tried to stick to that and have a signature. And you can say we have committed ourselves to that vision by also integrating the ambition in our company name, because, you know, Muto means new perspective, so we really need to stick to that, and we cannot do something else. And of course it can be tempting if you work with the design, because there's a lot of trends all the time. But we really need to stick to Scandinavian design and new perspective on that, so we cannot do anything else.
So what's the process like when you're thinking about ideas for design and furniture, and you're also thinking about that heritage of your country?
The process is that we have a fundamental idea. It could be a new kind of chair or whatever, maybe a lounge chair. And then we handpick what we believe would be the best designers for the job. And then a process starts, you know, with a lot of iterations, and we always try to make a quite detailed brief, you know, with all the important words and all the necessary questions asked, because, you know, honestly, the world doesn't really need more furniture. So you really need to be carefully selective about, okay, what area of the market do we want to cover with this product, and why do we believe that there will be a request or an end customer request for this product. That's our aim, and then we have, you know, a lot of initial thoughts with the designers, and then a really interesting process is starting up where of course the designers do their job, and we try to make sure that they stay within the concept defined from us, and then hopefully we end up with a successful product in the end.
So you were mentioning before, you know, that you only like to make furniture when there's a need to make that furniture. What are the kind of gaps that you're identifying in the market at the moment?
So many gaps everywhere, I believe. And, you know, we try to cover it all the time. But honestly, if we compare Mutu with, you know, the biggest peers within each category, there's so much to do still. I think we're getting there. We have really taken some giant steps in the last years, really, you know, moving into the furniture area. We start up with accessories, then moving into lighting and furniture. And now furniture is by far our largest category. I think our whole collection has really increased quite significantly, and we will try to keep the pace, but, you know, not too fast, because we don't want to compromise on the design expression and the quality. So it's really a balance. But I see a lot of, you know, white spots in the market.
One of the things I've heard a lot today from Scandinavian brands is a big interest in the US, and I understand you guys are pushing quite strongly in that arena. What is it about the US market that is demanding Scandinavian design right now?
I think in general we feel that there's a quite strong demand for Scandinavian design, but honestly, Scandinavian design, I don't believe it's a trend. It's been here for many years. Of course, it's going a little bit up and down, but it's never disappearing. So I think it's more than a trend, it's fundamental expression, you either like it or not. And then you can have some years where it's really, you know, more interesting than other years, but in general it's here to stay. But I think what we see in the US is, and actually all over the world, we see this transformation in the office environment, where we, you know, see this, you know, homey feeling, the need for a more homey feeling in the office environment, where you actually extend the feeling you have in your private home into your workspace. And I definitely see that this is also, you know, we know US, we have all seen the American movies, everybody sitting with their small cubicles working on their desk. And I think actually more and more companies are sick and tired of that expression. So it's time to mix the traditional workspace, which of course still will be there, with more, you know, breakout areas where you can have a different kind of meeting, a different kind of setting, and feel more relaxed and, you know, having your meetings and conversations with colleagues.
And just finally, I'm guessing you've been having a lot of meetings here at the fair. Can you take us through the kind of the people that you're catching up with, the countries that they're from, where the real interest is for, I guess, your brand, but also more broadly, what's on offer at Stockholm?
Well, I think, you know, Stockholm has become a really international fair. We see customers coming from everywhere, actually. There is no doubt that these years are quite good for Scandinavian brands. So I think it's a really international fair. And I think it's of course, as a region, it's something to be proud of, that it's not only about Salona and Milan, which is, of course, still a fantastic fair and really important fair. But this fair has really, I think, increased in quality level, and also the numbers of brands presented here is increasing. So,
any surprises from countries that we need to know about that are building up an appetite for your work or this kind of work?
It's really interesting to see the development going on, and especially if you take a country like China. Honestly, 5 years ago, I was really pretty conservative when I you know, was discussing the potential for Mutu in China, because I felt that our concept was a little too subtle, too minimalistic for the Chinese end consumer. But what I, you know, but when I see when I visit China now, is that they are actually becoming more and more sophisticated in their way of looking at brands like ours, and they're really interested. So when you're having interviews with Chinese media, they keep on asking questions. They really want to understand, and you really feel this huge appetite for learning about concepts from the West. So I must say, I've been, you know, surprised over and over again of the requests from different parts of the world.
That was Anders Kleeman, CEO of Mutu, speaking to Monocle's very own design editor, Nolan Giles. For a quick aside, mounting concerns over the increasingly problematic issue of plastic waste has got many cities around the world thirsty for a solution. Starting this summer, London will install a new network of drinking fountains and refilling stations to tackle the problem. The pilot involves 20 new fountains with a further network of businesses which will participate in a bottle refilling scheme. In a further snub to single-use plastic, City Hall is also putting a lid on plastic cups, bottles and cutlery. According to a proposal by Mayor Sadiq Khan, the city is aiming to ensure that by 2026, the amount of biodegradable or recyclable plastic sent to landfill is reduced to zero. Other cities would do well to follow London's shining lead in this regard. The Section D mailbag is always open to queries and suggestions. Do get in touch by emailing our producer, Ben Rylan. He's at br@monocle.com. And for more design stories, you can always peruse the latest issue of Monocle magazine. This is Section D. Do stay tuned.
Esiintyy, silloin laulu kutsukoon, tuijottelut tuokioon, Kämuumilaaksoon, Kämuumilaaksoon.
Now it's some 70 years since Tove Jansson first dreamed up Moomin Trolls. Since then, the white hippo-like creations have withstood several buyout attempts from larger companies, including Walt Disney. Today, the Moomins are an integral soft power pull and part of the Finnish identity, and their popularity, respect for nature, and the universal themes of the show have captivated audiences of all ages. Not surprisingly, the Moomins have also spawned their share of products and services, some good, others somewhat bizarre. Cue a procession of Moomin-themed theatrical productions, theme parks, figurines, cafes, and oddly even a Moomin-themed hospital in Helsinki. In a new collaboration, the creative director of the Moomins company and niece of its founder, Sophia Jansson, has teamed up with Magnus Englund, the co-founder of London-based retailer Scandium. The pair have created a new Moomin shop in North London. I welcomed them both to the studio to find out a little more about their hopes that physical retail and a dose of thoughtful design may well introduce the ever-so-Finnish characters to a new generation of fans.
And at first was to do a second shop next door for a new Swedish brand called Little Fant. But in the end, we were offered a larger unit, so we put the two together into a larger space. And it's a beautiful Grade 2 listed old horse hospital for people who haven't been there before. And Moomin have many licensee manufacturers of products, a lot of them coming out of Scandinavia, of course, and a lot of them being prestigious design brands like Itala Arabia and Showroom Finland. So the design quality of the products is unusually high compared to other character brands, which I hardly dare say in front of Sophia, because Moomin is much more than a character brand in my mind. It comes from literature, it has art and literature base, which makes it very different.
And Sophia, you're definitely the best person to ask the next question. So you're the niece of the creator of the Moomins, and you have held the role as managing director of the company. But maybe for our listeners who only have a sort of fleeting knowledge of what a Moomin Troll actually is, maybe you could tell them a little bit more about the brand and its development to this kind of point today.
Well, actually, it's interesting. We talk about the Moomins as a brand these days, and it feels a little bit odd to me because, of course, the Moomins are based on books written by my aunt, Tove, the first being published in 1945. And they were fairy tales, stories of fantasies about these hippo-like creatures that she called Moomin Trolls that lived in Moomin Valley. And they have adventures and they have a very strong sort of family unit. But I think more importantly, Tove put her own values into the stories and her views on life and how you should live and what's important. And she happened to be a deeply humanistic person. So the themes are in many ways quite universal and timeless, you know, about friendship, loneliness. And above all, I think part of the stories being relevant today is about the fact that they are very much about equality, about being open and tolerant, and generally more welcoming of strange beings rather than having a very strict and formal moral
Yeah, and the books and later the cartoons and all of the merchandise, they're not too didactic. They don't aim to tell you what to do. They show people kind of working things out, or Moomins working things out in a way, don't they? Is there something about the Moomins which is kind of fundamentally Finnish in a way? Is there something that sums up maybe the identity of the nation? Because the two have become so synonymous. People know where the Moomins are from, and you know, it could have been a fleeting moment in publishing history that never came again, but it's still here and it still resonates. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that definitely the stories are imbued with all things Scandinavian. You know, the Moomins live a very symbiotic relationship with nature, and nature is very present and really influences what they do and how they do things. And then those sort of rather fundamental democratic values on which Scandinavian societies and also Finnish society is built are very present. But I think the thing that makes them quintessentially Finnish is Tove's artistry, and maybe her illustrations are fantastic in their own graphic way. She uses a style that's so reminiscent of how aesthetics are seen in Finland. You know, it's rather sparse, and the empty spaces say a lot, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, completely. And I suppose that brings a challenge to you, Magnus, taking these beautifully rendered images, these timeless themes, and actually turning them into a physical product. I mean, generally when designers talk about products, they invoke quite emotional language. They talk about the way things feel and that sense of tactility and that sense of space. How do you turn these illustrations, though, into products? And what do you think is the importance of these products? Because clearly it's not for you just a way to make money or a revenue stream. It's something you believe in.
Yes, I always wanted to put together and see if you can create a whole Moomin shop of items. And I can tell you, you certainly can, because the last delivery of goods, we run out of space. So we're only working with maybe 40 of the hundreds of manufacturers that are available. But the person who makes the ultimate decision on each product is actually Sofia, as creative director of Moomin Characters. So everything passes her desk, explaining things which you have to. And she says either yes or no. And sometimes you do say no as well, because I know you've seen a few odd proposals of products through the years.
I need to ask you, what's the oddest one?
Oh, I think the oddest one isn't necessarily the way they've used the Moomins, but it's products that I just didn't even, in my wildest fantasies, imagine that existed. And they usually come from Asia. They can be anything from decorative products that you put on a mantelpiece to rather, they have decorations for a lot of things. I mean, they can decorate their cups with little things that you stick on top of the cups that hang, or things like that. And they're not necessarily ugly per se.
You're being very diplomatic with your language here, very diplomatic. This must be another Finnish trait that I'm just coming used to.
I don't want to offend anybody.
We're in a situation where we basically know that there's quite a lot of tat out there, and there's a lot of things perhaps done in the name of the brand that maybe wouldn't enhance the brand if they were in your lovely shop, Magnus. Another thing, you know, I'm thinking about your amazing retail spaces that you developed with Scandium, wearing a previous hat in a previous life. How do you design a space differently if you're exhibiting something which has a lot more levity? They're a bit more fun. They're a bit more kind of character-based. Does that influence how you design the shop and this space in Camden Stables?
Well, we contrast the Victorian stable space with quite colourful, slightly inspired display units with some of the basic colours of the Moomins. But also the products in themselves are quite colourful, except the Moomins, of course, which are only ever white. And we had customer one of the first days who came in and said, oh, don't you have the Moomins in other colours? And we all started laughing because
not since the 40s, no.
No, that's not happened. That's one thing that's for certain. We also put in a fair bit of books. Like Sofia mentioned, the base of it is the first, it's a work on literature more than anything else that was later then turned into cartoons and other things. And I think it's important to show where it all started. And they are a really good read for adults. And in general, the shop as such is aimed more towards adults. What we sell least of is toys, is kids' things. It's grown-ups buying things for themselves because they can relate to Moomins and they can relate to different characters. So Little Mai, for example, is popular with fierce women because she's a bit of a feminist icon. I think that's the right way of describing it.
She's certainly a very strong lady.
I'm interested in whether certain markets value different things about the Moomins. You mentioned all of these kind of undercurrents, these lovely themes that are still relevant today, whether that's our relationship with our environment, whether that's feminism, whether that's equality, whether it's something as simple as loneliness and finding, you know, compassionate people and having a nice family around you. Is the UK a good market? Is the US a good market? And are there any other markets that kind of have a different read on the Moomins or like different aspects of it? Do you know?
Definitely. I think that UK is among the markets that has the benefit of having several generations that know the Moomins, and something happens there. You have grandmothers kind of introducing the stories to their grandchildren. But then you have markets that sort of don't have that history. So take, for example, when we went to Hong Kong, they homed in on the fact that the Moomin character looks cute, and they sort of went for the cute factor rather than having read the stories. And then, you know, we've been working now for 10 years to really introduce the books and make them read the stories as well. So people do come to the Moomins from different directions. In a crass division, I would say that Europeans have perhaps a leaning towards, you know, literature and the appreciation of illustration. So they will go that way and then find the products, because they then make them remember the stories and how they felt about the characters or something. Whereas not necessarily the Japanese, because they've known the stories for a long time as well. But I would say other Asians, they look at the artwork and they think, oh, really cute character. Who's this? And, you know, I want a product with this character on it. And then after that, they sort of start to investigate, you know, the artist behind it and the stories behind it.
And Magnus, I'm just going to give you the last word here, because I suspect that the idea of setting up a Moomin shop isn't just something that came to you very recently. I suspect the idea that, you know, you've had a longer relationship with the brand, that you have maybe thought about this before in some way. How did it come about, and how did you organise the shop and the licensing and the relationship with Sophia?
It's true, it's something that's been on my mind for a long time, but we were just so busy with growing and developing Scandium that I had to sort of put it aside. But also the quality of the products that are available have increased since then. So in the last decade, there's just much more products around that you can create this shop around. And of course, I've worked both as UK agent and as biggest retailer for the Italian Arabia products, which is the longest licensed manufacturer of Moomin products. They started, I think, in the 1950s already, doing the products. I've been retailing Moomin products in one way or another for almost two decades now. This is just another step on a long journey, you could say.
Moomin's creative director, Sophia Janssen, and Scandium co-founder, Magnus Englund there. The Moomin shop in question is in London's Camden Stables and open now. And sadly, that's all we have time for on this week's show. Next week, we'll sit down with the Swedish accessories brand Sandqvist to find out how thoughtful design and canny marketing help them take on the global bags market. Section D was produced by Ben Ryland, researched by Daphne Karnesis, and edited by Christy Evans. I'm Josh Fennett. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.